Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today our text is in Proverbs chapter 5, primarily verses 3 through 5, but we're going to study other parts of Proverbs chapter 5 because today we are studying sin personified. Sin personified. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Now, the passage is about a strange woman. However, if you consider sin, then this strange woman pictures sin. She is sin personified. Now, the sermon outline that you're going to hear today comes from notes that I took on a sermon I heard by Pastor Rick Sow that was preached 25 years ago. I was reading in my Bible and saw, this is a Bible that I read in the morning at home, and down on the bottom, 25 years ago, I saw the outline for the sermon you're going to hear today, and I thought to myself, you know, that is a fabulous outline because it shows us a picture of sin. You see, this woman, this strange woman, is very deceptive. You see, her lips drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. However, her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. So when you consider this presentation of sin by this strange woman as something so enticing, and you consider the inability to see this terrible end of involvement with this strange woman until you're already on your way to hell, then you know something? We see the deceptiveness of sin. And what you see in this woman is not what you get, and what you see in sin is not what you get. So we're going to study this passage and apply the outline that we heard before and add some comments, because they're too good not to repeat. From this passage, we see that sin is several things. First of all, from this passage, we see that sin is exciting. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3, the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. You see, this woman has portrayed herself and speaks in such a way that she is a magnet for men who are void of understanding. And the way she speaks and the way that she presents herself is so enticing that a young man void of understanding is going to be attracted to her and is going to want to spend time with her. You read about this young man who is void of understanding in Proverbs 7:7. Well, sin is the same way. Sin is exciting. Paul calls this enticement of sin the pleasures of sin. He was talking about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25, and he said about Moses that Moses was choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. And Paul added, for a season. You see, sin is exciting for a season. James says that sin is enticing. He's explaining to us how a person can be tempted into sin, and he said the first thing you need to realize is that God doesn't tempt us. For us to say that God did something, for a man to say, I am tempted of God, well, that'd be wrong, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14 says of James chapter 1, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, and watch it, enticed. This woman is enticing, and sin is enticing. That's why Paul said about this type of sin, this excitement that comes from sin. Paul said, we are not to even talk about it. In Ephesians chapter 5, when Paul is talking to us about following God, he says in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 5, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And he goes on to say, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, watch it, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Do you see that? He said you're not to even talk about it. Why? Because sin is so exciting and sin is so enticing that the mere mention of certain sins can cause your mind to become so stirred up with imagination that it's well nigh impossible for you to resist the temptation to act on what you're thinking about. And that's the way sin is. It is exciting, no doubt. And just like this woman who has enticed many a man with lips that drop as an honeycomb and a mouth that is smoother than oil. From this passage, we see that not only is sin exciting, but we also see that sin is exaggerated. Keep reading in Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verses 4 and 5. Her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. You see, sin may be exciting when it allures you, but after you've gotten into it, you learn something. You learn that what gets you enticed is that you're seeing and thinking about the part of sin that's exciting, and you neglect to consider the consequences. I'm reminded of Eve in the Garden of Eden when the devil tempted her. All she could see were the beautiful and desirable aspects of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told her, in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes should be opened. You should be as gods, knowing good and evil. And she looks at the tree, and it's pleasant to the eyes. It's a tree to be desired to make one wise. It's good for food. She sees all these positive aspects in that tree. She could not see the curse. She could not see the sorrow. She could not see the painful childbirth. She could not see the submission to her husband. She couldn't see the sweat. She couldn't see the labor. She couldn't see the death that was prophesied by God. God had told her, through Adam, he told Adam, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. She knew that. She knew that. She just couldn't see it. Why? Because sin is exaggerated. You see the allurement and you think, whoa, this is just something I have to have. But you don't see all these other things that happen. You see, sin appears to be much more beautiful than it is. You know what it does? It disguises its true ugliness. That's right. Sin is ugly, deadly, but it's all dolled up. I mean, the party on Saturday night is fun. Death by cirrhosis of the liver is wretched. The party on Saturday night is fun. the grieving, mourning family suffering your loss from an overdose is wretched. You see, this woman personifies sin because she's exciting, but she's also exaggerated. And not only that, sin is evasive, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 6. Lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. This woman keeps changing like a chameleon so that you can't figure out what she's up to. Just when you think you have her sort of figured out, she's moved so that you can't ponder the path of life, so that you can't know what she's up to. She's just like the fashion of this world that passeth away. The fashion of this world is ever changing. That's why they call these fads. Today something's popular. Skinny ties are popular. Then you got to go to wide ties. And then wide lapels are popular, and then narrow lapels are popular. And a woman's dress is long, and then it's short, and then it's medium, and then it's long, and then it's short, and it never changes. It's always changing. It never stays the same. Well, sin is the same way. It's evasive. It sneaks up on you. You know, you might have said when you were a child or when you were younger, I will never commit such and such a sin. I'll never commit that sin. And then when you got older, you ended up committing that sin. And you say, how in the world did that happen? Well, sin became sneaky. When you saw that sin in your parents as a child and you saw what it was doing to them, you made a vow to yourself you'd never go down that road. But then when you got older and suddenly the sin was presented to you in its glamour, you didn't see it the same way you did when you were a child and you saw what it was doing to your family. You saw it in a different light, and it moved on you, see? It's evasive. It tricked you. And you got into it, and you're like, how in the world did this happen? Well, your resolve was weakened by the evasiveness of sin. It moved on you, presented itself to you in a way that you didn't expect, and suddenly what looked so bad to you when you were younger suddenly looked good to you when you were older. How many young ladies and young men have made vows that when they were younger that, oh, that would never get into fornication, and then suddenly, before they ever married, they got into it, and they think, how did that happen? Well, snuck up on you, didn't it? Because sin is evasive. We see from this passage about this strange woman in Proverbs chapter 5 that she, like sin, is exciting. Sin, like her, is exaggerated. Sin, like her, is evasive. But I'll tell you something else. Sin, like this woman in Proverbs chapter 5, is expensive. It's expensive. Proverbs chapter 5, look at verse 9. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. Boy, I'll tell you what, Solomon is showing you something here. He's telling you in no uncertain terms, there's going to come a day, if you step off into sin, that you're going to regret it. Your wealth is going to be in the hands of strangers, and your flesh and your body are going to be consumed. You see, the price of sin goes up with time. The longer you're in it, the higher the price you pay. Now, sometimes people pay that high price the first time they ever get into it. I remember there was a campaign against drunk driving where a fellow went off and got drunk for the first time. And was driving home, and obviously had no business being behind the wheel, and killed two teenage girls. How in the world? Boy, I'll tell you what, that was a high price to pay on his first night out. Sometimes sin doesn't wait. Sometimes you cash it all in on the first go-round. But generally speaking, if you dabble with sin, then what's going to happen is the price of sin is going to go up with time. And you say, how do I pay that price? Well, you pay that price in the money you spend. That's one of the obvious ways. Well, it starts out where you go out drinking with the boys, okay? So you spend a little money. And you spend a little money sometimes when you buy the rounds, as they say, for them. But you see, what's happening at home is your family's falling apart. Then you get divorced, and now you're paying in child support. And now you're paying in other expenses related to their upkeep that have no personal benefit to you. And you keep on drinking to get rid of your misery, and then you start paying when you got to go see the psychologist. And then you start paying when you got to see the psychiatrist so he can prescribe you drugs to help you deal with the damage you did to yourself. And then you pay the pharmacist, and you keep on paying. You pay, and it always costs you money. Like they say, sin will keep you longer than you wanted to stay and cost you more than you wanted to pay. Listen, you not only pay with the money you spend, you pay with the toll it takes on your mind and on your body. Sin starts coming in there and doing its work on you. It's trying to kill you. And what happens is your body begins to become dissipated. And your mind, you begin to lose your mind. It's not sharp like it was at one time. Why, sin. Used to be you could sit down and think about things that were pleasant and things that were God-honoring and things that were worthy of thought. And now your mind is plagued by thoughts of the sin that have you hooked. They say the mental addiction to methamphetamines and to crack cocaine sometimes is stronger. That crystal meth or whatever they call it, that stuff is stronger than the physical addiction. Why? Your mind can't let go. And sometimes it's your body that can't let go, and you're constantly plagued with temptations to use it again. Boy, it's expensive, the toll that it takes on your mind and your body. Eventually, you pay with your own life. That's right. The wages of sin is death. That's right. Eventually, you pay with your own life. The wages of sin is death. That's right. You see, sin doesn't stop doing what sin does to you until sin has killed you. In James, we've already seen that enticement there in verse 14, but verse 15 of James chapter 1 goes on to say, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That's your price right there. But that's not all. Sin, like this woman in Proverbs chapter 5, is exciting, exaggerated, evasive, expensive. But I'll tell you something else. It's also exhaustive. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 14, Solomon says, "I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly." Just worn out. Sin will dominate your life until it wears you out. Have you ever studied the lines of sin on the countenance of a man or a woman who is worn out with sin? They become haggard, and their eye sockets are sunk in, and their face is lined, and their forehead is lined, and their skin is like leather. You ever notice that? Just worn out with sin. It's just eating away at them. I've said about some people who died young because of sin, that they live two lifetimes in one. In other words, when their death is the result of sin, I say they live two lifetimes in one. You see, what do you mean? I say this. They ran so hard with sin that they literally wore themselves out in half the span of a normal life. That's what Psalm says. Psalm 55 and verse 23. The Bible says, Psalm 55, verse 23, "Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." That's what sin does. Cuts the life short, about in half, because they're just worn out with it. And it's so sad. I've had to do those funerals for people that were in their 30s and 40s. So sad, when they could have lived a full span, been there for their family. Sin got them, wore them out, beat them to death, literally, exhausted them. Sin, like this woman in Proverbs chapter 5, is exciting, exaggerated, evasive, expensive. exhaustive, and I'll tell you something else, enslaving. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22, pretty close, wraps up the thoughts on this woman. It says, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly shall he go astray. Ooh, boy, that is so wicked. Holden with the cords of his sins. You know what it's like? It's like this. Every time you sin, there's another string attached. Well, the first time you sin, that there's only one string. You know, if you could run away then, why, it couldn't hold you. A little old thing like a piece of dental floss, you'd snap it right away. And you know what? That's how this evasive, exaggerated sin got you. It enticed you to go ahead and try it once, and oh, I'll just put a little old string on there. What's a little old string? Why, I can break that with my hands. All I got to do is take a step away from it, and snap, it's over. I'm not hooked. Like men have said, I can take it or leave it. All right? Then you sin again. Now there's another string. And you sin again, and there's another string. Well, it's just a string. It's no different than the first string that was attached. Why, there's nothing to that little old string. I could stop this any time I want to. Then another string. And 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 in time, you are captured. Because you take a whole lot of little strings, hundreds of little strings, and tie you down here and there and yon with those strings. They become such a formidable opponent to your escape that you can't even move. Sins that way. It is enslaving, holden with the cords of his sins. The strings become twine, and the twine becomes rope, and the rope becomes cord, and you're stuck. We say about alcoholics and drug addicts that they were hooked. What is that? It said, well, a hook got in them, and they couldn't get it out. They were stuck. You know, you cannot enjoy the victory over sin that is promised in Jesus Christ because you've put yourself in bondage to sin. Jesus Christ said, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Did you know that? He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the Pharisees took great exception to that statement. They said, we've never been in bondage to any man. And Jesus, so how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered him, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So there's victory in Jesus Christ. There's victory in truth, but you can't enjoy it because you've put yourself in bondage to sin. I'm going to tell you something. Dying of lung cancer or COPD often starts with smoking that first cigarette. Dying with a drug overdose starts with that first high. Living or dying with an STD starts with fornicating the first time. You see, once you start down one of these roads, you may not ever stop. And in the end, you're going to cause someone, either yourself or others, tremendous misery. That's right. When you're holding with the cords of your sins and you're in and out of jail, don't you think for a minute that your mother is not just crying her eyes out, pouring her heart out to God on your behalf? You're killing her, man. You're killing her. Holding with the cords of your sin and causing misery to your wife and children. Oh, you say, this, I'm just having a good time. Just having a good time. Your family's not. Your friends aren't. Selfish brat. Don't you understand what you're doing to others? What you're going to do to yourself? You're killing yourself. Holding with the cords of your sin. Let me just put it this way. You've said about your drinking. You've said about your drugging. I can take it or leave it. I can quit anytime I want. Okay, then quit today. Big shot. All this smoking, this dipping, yeah, I can quit anytime I want. Well, then quit today. You're not getting any better as a result of it. And I'll tell you what, tomorrow when you've quit for 24 hours, then you tell me whether or not you were holding with the cords of your sins. You find those cords got you more than you thought you did, you better get down on your face before Jesus Christ and confess what you've done and see your life from His perspective and look to the Lord Jesus Christ to make you free. Listen, this chapter here, Proverbs chapter 5, excellent chapter because it shows you what sin looks like when it's dressed up like a woman in disguise. And it's exciting and exaggerated, evasive, expensive, exhaustive, enslaving. You say, what should I do about it? I'll tell you what to do. Verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 5 says, remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. You know what you need to do? Well, you need to, when you see sin all dialed up for the night, you know what you need to do? You just need to look past the presentation and recognize that sin dressed up all pretty is just as deadly as a serial killer. She wants you in her clutches until she can drain the last dime out of your pocket and the last drop of blood out of your veins. She's a bloody killer underneath that lavish disguise. Don't be fooled by what you see and hear. You know what you need to do? You need to listen to the words of God and run away from her as fast as your legs will carry you. And don't look back. He says, remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. You need to stay away. He said, well, my friends all meet down there at the bar. Well, then make some new friends down at the church house and stay out of that bar. You say, well, my little friends there in high school, they all do these drugs. Then you break off with those little friends in your high school and make you some friends in the Sunday school. And realize what that sin personified is up to. She wants to kill you. Dead. Don't let her.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.